Well, good morning. Thanks for coming. It's that first Sunday of Lent. We had a wonderful Lent service, or at least I thought it was good. I want to share a poem from you. It's written by a lady who had looked at the Lenten service. Her name is Catherine Ann Hill. The serpent lied, and the woman heard, and spoke and acted on his word. Her husband failed to speak and ate the fruit that set a bitter fate. But Jesus did not fail to speak to curb the suffering of the weak. When tempted, he rebuked the one who tried to foil the Father's Son. O second Adam, by your grace, enable us, your fallen race, to follow your example true in everything we say and do. Before we had this Lenten time, Jesus had just been baptized. And in that period of time, the voice of God came out of heaven, and we saw that a dove came, and he said, "This is what? My Son, who I am well pleased." God the Father recognizing who Jesus was. And shortly after that period of time, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus where? To the wilderness. And that's where these temptations come. How many days? 40. How many days do we go through the Lenten process to celebrate for Easter? 40. And as I said Wednesday, it is your time to prepare your heart, to examine yourself, just kind of like you examined before a communion service. Where am I in my Christian life today? Am I closer this year than I was last year? Am I closer this month than I was last month? How close am I walking with Jesus? And then we see in this story, temptations that come to Jesus. Now, it only lists three. But remember, it was 40 days. 40 days. Now, sometimes a day seems like a year to us, doesn't it? And I don't know this week if you were tempted. Did you get tempted this week? There's a difference between testing and temptation. Temptation leads us to sin. Now, the temptation in itself is not a sin. You understand? The temptation is not a sin. The things that happened that the devil put Jesus through were not a sin. But if he was to act on those temptations, it would be a sin. And if he's truly God's Son, and he's the Messiah, and he's all man and all God, as man, he can be tempted. He can feel the things that you feel. In his suffering, he felt the suffering you would feel. In the pain, he felt the pain you would feel. The joy, he felt the joy you would feel. But as God, he could not sin. As God's Son, he could not sin. So the devil comes on the scene. 40 days, it said Jesus had not what? Eaten. Some of us can't even skip lunch, right? And we tell people, "Oh, I'm starving." And some of us, maybe we've experienced being more hungry and had fit days or been sick and you couldn't eat and maybe your body was desiring food. I'm not recommending this Lent time of 40 days that you abstain from food. All right? You should see your medical doctor if you're going to plan to do something like that. But you might skip a meal or maybe two meals. I'll be in danger if I said three, right? But he was hungry. In the physical sense of Jesus as a human being, he was hungry. And I don't know, but have you ever seen rocks and they look like bread? Be loaves of bread? And the devil looks at it and says, he knows that Jesus is hungry. And he says, you're hungry. Go ahead and make these into loaves. Feed yourself. Take care of that need. And Jesus responds, what? Yeah. I don't need the food. I feed on what? The Word of God. Some of you are starving today, and it's not from the physical food, sorry to say, but it's from spiritual food. It's great that you come here. I hope you come every Sunday. But you need to be fed through the week. Because you're pretty hungry, man, when you come finally Sunday, right? But what about the rest of the week? Are you feeding on the Word? Do you open up your Bible? Can you find it? Is it on your phone? Did you look it up? Did you spend any time in prayer during this week? I mean, if we have it bad or something comes and we don't know, we do have a tendency to go to Him, don't we? But the pattern of our life ought to be all the time. As we eat those meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we probably have a snack or two, we ought to be doing the same in the sense I'm feeding on God, feeding on His Word. We talked about finding that quiet place to pray, where you take away all the business of the world, put the phone away, turn the TV off, turn the radio off, try to get the family off to the side, and you get somewhere and you just talk to God. He knows you so well. You can say anything to Him. And so, He first tests Jesus in the body. A weakness in our body, in His sense, hunger at the time. Satan will love to tempt you. You ever been tempted? Yeah, even pastor's been tempted. Yeah, you've been tempted? Oh my goodness, she's been tempted too. Any of you out there been tempted? Carol, I'll put you on the spot. You ever been tempted? Oh my goodness, even Carol. If the devil can ruin your testimony for God, that's what he would rather do. And he will attack, one, if there's physical need, he will attack that physical need. Later, we see that he goes and shows him all the kingdoms of the time, of the world, and the devil says, guess what? I have authority over the authorities, but I'll give it to you. You don't have to die on that cross. You know all that stuff going on? You don't have to do that. I can have the powers of the world today follow you. You can have the authority. I have it, but I'll give it to them. It tells us that the devil is what? The prince of what? This world. When sin came into the world, it became the devil's threshold. You don't believe me? Check out the advertisement on TV. Or listening to it on the radio. Look what the devil is doing in regards to mankind. Even look at the wars or rumors of wars. These are all things that he has control over and the powers because God has allowed him when sin crept into the world. But the devil says, look, I will give it to you, Jesus. You can have it under one stipulation. Nobody's looking, and all you have to do is bow down and worship me. Make me as understood as the one that is in control of this world, and recognize me for who I am. And what did Jesus say? He quotes scripture. You go to Deuteronomy, most of the passages come out of Deuteronomy, and he says, we only worship who? There's only one person we're supposed to worship. Who is it? Our God. One God. That's who we worship. Nobody else. We don't worship other people, even though we might put them on a pedestal. We don't do that. No leader. We worship God. Now notice how Jesus had responded in these first two. He used what? Scripture. The Bible. It might be hard, but sometimes when you're tempted, recite a verse. And if you haven't memorized a lot of scripture in your life, do you all know John 3:16 at least? Do you know that one? For God so loved that he gave his only, that whoever believeth in shall have what? You know it. This time, the next time that you're tempted, if that's the only verse you know, say it and see what happens. There's some great books written about people facing different trials or even aggression from others, and they recite a scripture verse, and it's like God protects them. Try it. Because if you get in God's Word, it's not about you anymore, is it? You have surrendered to the ultimate power. So the first two times, now it's a little different if you go to the Gospel of Matthew. He switches the second and third. I'm not sure why. You guys can study that and tell me. How's that? But I don't know why he does that. But in here, we have the temptation of the bread, and we have the temptation of leadership and power and goes to basically, could go to pride. You ever want to feel good and feel like you matter? Hard to be humble sometimes, isn't it? Because we like that, right? You know, I've got a group when I'm at my business, I've got a group of them just because it's the nature and the culture that they grew up. And every time you walk out, hi, boss. You know, that don't say my name or anything, just hi, boss. And so there's that part. Now the devil goes to not only just maybe the soul and the desire things. Now the devil does something which is interesting. He takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and he recites what? Scripture. Can you imagine the devil? Oh, first time, what do? You use Scripture. Second time, yeah, use Scripture again. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use Scripture. And if you look through the Bible, you will find that Satan will use Scripture, and sometimes he'll twist the words. That's why it's always important to keep your bulletin or keep your Bible open and always verify whoever is given ministry to make sure they're in the Word. And they didn't come up with their own interpretation. If I think it's a certain way, I'll tell you that based on my study, my interpretation, or there are various types of interpretation, or you need to search that and feel it out for yourself. And you need to follow along and make sure a few words aren't switched around. Even translations, sometimes you have to have more than one Bible sometimes just to make sure that they're not leaving some out. Do you know that some Bibles that got translated left out the virgin birth? Is that important in your theology? I hope so. Yeah, very important, right? We're talking about him being all man and all God. It's certainly important. But some don't want to touch the subject, right? Or they leave it out. So the devil says, look, I'll take you up here now, throw yourself down, because I know you use that Word of God a lot. The Word of God says that he won't let anything happen to you. They'll catch you, and you won't even hurt your foot. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, what? Don't put God to the test. You know, it'd be kind of like saying, well, I know God's going to protect me. I prayed about it. I felt it. I know He's going to, but I'm going to stand out on I-95 and see if any car hits me because I know God will go ahead and protect me. Anybody want to do that? We're smart enough, no, not to put God to the test. But Satan is trying everything he can do to show that Jesus, what he wants him to be over Jesus. He's always wanted to be over God. And he said, well, if you're the Messiah, prove it. Prove it. Did he need to prove it? It was already proven just before all this, wasn't it? We said right at the baptism, dove came, God spoke. God said, this is my beloved Son. That's who he is, whom I'm well pleased. And then Satan did what? He said, went away, waiting for another opportunity. You're going to get tempted. It's going to happen. What are you going to do? Let me go through some things maybe to help you. But you're going to get tempted. And then there's going to be a season that you seem to be having it spiritually good. You're on that spiritual high. And be careful because it could be after a spiritual high that he comes to tempt you. I mean, that was a pretty spiritual high, being baptized and God speaking, right? So be careful. I'm going to just go through 10 things, and you can write them down if you want. First of all, Satan is a real enemy. There is a real Satan. It's not the costume of the red suit, the horns, and the little fork. He's real. Just as Jesus Christ is real, just as God is real, Satan is real, and he is your enemy. So Satan is real, number one. Satan will hit you. When does he do it? Look at what he did when he was Jesus. He does it when you're weak, when you're physically beaten down, or you're hungry, or you're stressed. Guess who can come and attack you when you're down? Satan. It's a lot easier for him to tempt you when you're in a weak state than it is when you're in a high spiritual, healthy state, right? The other I thought was real good, because I remember this when I was in corporate America, when I first got out of college. It was always be careful when you're isolated. When you are by yourself, and it's not for the quiet time you spend with God, but you're just by yourself, be careful. We used to tell businessmen, be very careful when you travel. When you leave home and you take a trip, temptation can come. And what are you going to do to make short accounts? This is a great church. We love each other, yes? And there ought to be a time, I mean, in the Bible it mentions about confessing your sins to one another. Boy, we in the church haven't even got there sometimes. But there ought to be a relationship where you can go brother to brother. And he says, hey, I hear you're going on a trip. I'm going to ask you when you come back, what did you do? Where'd you spend your time? Are you okay? Maybe I'll have a prayer with you before you go, that God puts his protection over you, brings you back safe, and that you're not tempted in any way. Just as in a hotel room, there is used to be a Gideon Bible. Now sometimes you see a Quran in there. We used to have Gideon Bible in there. But at the same time, they had bad channels on the TV. Short accounts. Because he will attack you if you're isolated. And if you're tired. You ever been tired? If you don't take a nap, if you're tired and worn down, Satan can attack you because you're weak. And if you are in those situations, do me a favor. Get your phone or get your Bible and start reading. We have victory. Jesus went into the wilderness under what? The guidance of the part of the Trinity, Holy Spirit. Guess what you have when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? The moment that you accept His grace to you, you have the indwelling what? Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God will guide you, direct you, protect you. All you need to do is call upon it. You will do things in your Christian life you never thought you could do before, because He gives you the ability. I couldn't remember Scripture. Scripture comes to mind. He tells you to witness to somebody. Tell them to come to church. I'm too nervous. I'm too scared. I'm too weak. But He gives you the power and the ability to do it. You have a warrior in Jesus Christ, and that's through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's in you. When things come up, I mentioned use the Bible as your counterpoint. When people see you, who do they see? Who should they see? Pardon? They should see Jesus. You may be, as the one song says, the only Jesus somebody knows. Your identity is not your old flesh, your weak self, what your life was like before. That is not you. Your identity is a blessed child of God, full of all the inheritance of God. He said, I have made you priest and king. When you come before me, Hebrews says, you can boldly come. Because God sees Jesus. God doesn't see us in our sinful state, how many sins you had, how much blood it took to wash your sins away. He sees you as He sees His Son. Isn't that neat? Look at John 17 if you want. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 tells us that God has always made a way for us to flee temptation. You can escape it. If you see it in your face, you know, there's a door over here you can go, but if you keep looking at it and you spend time here, well, I don't see the door. You got to look for it. But He says, I've made a way for you to escape. Notice what happened. After 40 days of temptation, what happened to Satan? He did what? Like the M&M fighters, you know? He's kind of like tapped out. He had enough. He left. He's waiting to come back again, but he left. And in your time of temptation, he will leave. You flee. You get in the Word, and he will leave. Now, the next thing is, especially at this Lenten time, this is the time where we ought to what? Repent for our weakness. The time that we have not been dwelling with Him and spending with Him or relying on Him or failed and fallen into the temptation and caused us to sin, repent. And 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? What? Forgive us. And forgive how much? All. Can your Bible highlight that? And folks, it'd be remiss not to say life is a battle. You just don't get saved and come to church and follow God and your life is fine. You'll never have a problem. Just talk to your neighbor later and ask them, how's your Christian life been? Have you ever had a battle? Anybody had a battle in their Christian life sometime? You ever had a battle? Look around. There's people. They've had a battle. They've had a spiritual battle. Would you be willing to help somebody on the way? Pray with them? We don't have to talk about all details, but we can certainly say in our lives, there are times it's been hard to keep my testimony. It's been hard to face life as it is. Things have happened and they've drawn me a little bit away. Pray for me. Wouldn't it be neat you come a little early in the service and somebody says, how was your week? And you say, oh, it's fine. Now, how was your week? Was there anything this week that we could pray about? And wouldn't it be neat we come in just a little early and we see somebody, a brother, sister in Christ, and we lift them up and we say, you know, sir, I'm going to pray with you. What can we pray about just before service today? What would make an impact in your life today? What can I pray about? Wouldn't that be nice? And we walk out that door and we know our church that loves us so much, we would bond so much closer. I appreciate those that I know every time during the week are praying for me. Carol, I know it. I feel it. Thank you. I know it. You're my help, so thank you. And there's ones of you out there. I know you are. And I appreciate that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is very revealing to us our need for the Holy Spirit to make us know that when we are facing temptations that we do not go to sin. We understand testing to make us grow, but when temptation comes, may it be that we follow so closely to the Word of God that we flee from the temptation. You're not asking for us to fight it. You're not asking us to battle with Satan. You said you would make a way for us to escape. And if that's what we need to do, help us today. Forgive us for our sins. As we take communion, may it be renewed in us this Lenten time that we want to live for you, that you would see us in our love for you and our appreciation for the work of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.